Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy-Turner.
Hello.
Hello, and Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, it is the beginning of... we will follow you very soon alongside making obligatory fart noises.
Okay. Because
April seems to be the month where things are actually coming out. There's a bunch of stuff scheduled. Well, there's quite a lot of stuff scheduled for April. I might get to what's coming out in May towards the end of the podcast. But starting from today, Oddworld Soulstorm is out alongside the re-release slash port slash have they done anything to it of Republic Commando, Star Wars Republic Commando. But we should, there's a bunch of stuff we're going to touch on for the rest of the month. But in regards to Oddworld Soulstorm, Mr. Benroy, you're a big fan of Honest Abe.
Yes, I'm a big fan of the first two games, the original, and then the one that they cranked out like 10 minutes later. And after that, I just gave up.
Exodus is great, mate.
They all went to Xbox after, didn't they? And dirty Xbox, I didn't own one.
Munch's Odyssey, who even...
I had a PS2, like someone with Decorum, and my friends had the Xbox, and I went over there and played Halo, and then came home. Mm-hmm. But this game has been in perpetual... What is it being delayed since I think Josh was born?
It's actually like real. I mean, like for those of us who are old enough to grow up with the PlayStation 1, then you would know Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, and then like you said, it went to Xbox. You had Munch's Odyssey. Then they did Stranger's Wrath, which is like a first-person thing, but it's not a shooter. It's more about like throwing out different types of bait and stuff like that. And now finally, Lorne Lanning as well, the original creative director dude, has finally done another proper Abe game.
Well, he's been trying to get this going forever because this is pretty much the direct sequel to that first one, but they made New and Tasty because he's like, you know what? F it. If you want another one, I'll make this New and Tasty. If it makes any money, then I'll do the other one. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think he was on Giant Bomb. He says, like, look, I'm just going to make it and get it done with it. And then it made money. And then there we go. Now we've, and even though they've probably got Epic Store money and PlayStation money from being on PS Plus. It's finally materialized. It's finally here. They did tweet out last night that, oh, by the way, we found a bug that will delete your entire save. But it's very rare to do. But we've mostly got rid of it. But just so you know, we're sorry. And I was looking at that last night. I was like, no, just get the game out and let's go. So they finally got it here and we can see what Abe's been, well, what Abe was going to be up to after that. And the revenge of the evil corporate men that I can't remember their name, but they don't have any arms.
Oh,
they're
God,
just
they're
got
called
cigars
Slig-
in their mouth.
I think they're called Sligs. Oh, that might be the guys with the guns.
Ones with the guns, I think, are called Sligs. I don't remember the big men of the series are called, but they're just men that are big.
God, another, it's been so long. I mean, like, obviously, Abe's race are called Mudikins. There's the Sligs that are looming around and everything. It was Abe's Odyssey, I feel like, was like a staple for PS1 gaming. It was just one of those titles that just did the rounds. Everybody played it for a bit, and then it was a little bit too hard or a little bit too perplexing.
You got about halfway and died.
You got halfway, you kept dying, and but it had such a weird feel to it. Like, I'm always amazed that Oddworld Inhabitants as a dev are still going, considering that I can't put many other things to their name other than the Oddworld series, but it's a long time coming.
Because Lorne Lanning comes from the TV world, I think. He came from like VFX, so he like made he was one of the first ones that sort of like made a jump over, but then he's just sort of like somehow existed for this long. And like, you can find interviews of him talking online, and I think there's a good one on Ars Technica where they go over what happened with Abe. But yeah, he just somehow managed to perpetually exist and now put the sequel to his game out, which is like 20 years later, and here we go.
It's been a ridiculous amount of time.
New and Tasty was great, so I'm all ready to jump into this tonight with the haptic PS5 controller support.
They have to do something with when you do the chant. That has to come through the triggers.
And the farts.
I'm the fart. The thing that put me off New and Tasty was that they changed the fart noise. Now, there's not many things that I hold near and dear in this life, but the original Abe's Odyssey and Exodus fart noises were legendary. Don't change them. I bet they have again.
I think, like, the very first fart noise in the very first Abe game, like, that sort of created humor for me, because it was one of the first games I ever played.
You'd never
one
laughed the first before, things then.
I ever saw as a Ben, and it was probably the first time I laughed. I just thought, ha, 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 it's a fart button, and I can do it whenever I want.
Do whatever you want. Games. Everyone always had a friend that had that game. You just went round to the house and just sat in L2 square, fart your life away. It's a good time.
It's like you can be the slug man and then you can shoot and then you can say hello to people. And you, if you were that kid, you could be, but you could make them walk into the hole and
follow me.
And hear them,
yeah. Straight into the electric fence. We'll do follow-ups on Oddworld Soulstorm. I think it's worth just celebrating the fact that it exists. If you're anything of a PlayStation fan or whatever, you already know of the franchise. And I mean, assumedly this will be the one that gets even more people in because it is on PS Plus and it is out from today. So the rest of the month stuff, I've chopped and changed the release dates a little bit because I think that there are much bigger games coming towards the end of the month. So let's jump to the very end. What's coming on April 30th is an insane day. April 30th is new Pokemon Snap, Returnal, R-Type Final 2, and Terminator Resistance Enhanced all on the same day.
Where's your gut take you? I'm feeling like, you know, in Infinity War, when Thanos gets the Infinity Gauntlet and he puts the final gem in and he sort of like is full of power. That's what I feel like actually having new games to look forward to.
You know,
I got it the other day, Disco Elysium, and I'm going to get Outriders at some point. I definitely am going to get that. And I just feel like I'm stocking up. I'm getting my power levels high. Getting my power levels up, and it's all building towards the end of the month because I think Returnal is going to be good, though I am undecided at the moment whether it's going to be worth £70. And I think that's going to be a trend going forward with all of these Sony first party games because, you know, for something like God of War 2 or Horizon Zero Dawn 2, I'm absolutely going to buy those day one for full price. But for unproven titles like Returnal, it's going to be a more difficult sell and it needs to be very, very good. That said, I do have high hopes for it and I like the stuff that the studio's made before. They've never really done anything on this scale, so I think it could be good, but it might be something that I have to wait. I don't know.
Something's really weird with Returnal where I trust in the studio themselves. I trust in the amount of budget that they've been given. Like the idea of doing like a full-on like arcade, because Housemarque are known for these sort of like really arcadey, you know, bullet hell arcadey kind of games, and doing that in full 3D is something that we've hardly ever seen. Like Risk of Rain 2 does it, but that idea of like an over-shoulder camera, but everything's still coming at you and filling the screen, like Nier Automata kind of did it, where you're like surrounded by projectiles, but you're jumping in between specific spaces, and that 2D top-down, you know, bullet hell style mentality, but in 3D. I feel like that's a really fresh thing, but there's something about it where I just feel like, I don't know if I'm going to say people don't care, but I just haven't seen like any real response other than cool, it's a PlayStation 5 game. Like it's just something to sort of dive into.
I just don't have faith in a roguelike, like whatever you want to call it, which one it is this time. I think it's just a like that is worth the 70 pound price point is like, no, I'm going to wait. If it was 60 or 50, I'd probably be in straight away, but I feel like this is when I get into a game like this, when I get into this later in the year, it's gonna be something I want to play over and over again, obviously, because this is what this genre is designed for. But being so close to a certain title in the first few weeks of May, and
you
then
can say its name, it's Medieval Village,
Resident Evil Village, and then the Mass Effect Remastered trilogy, like a couple of weeks later after
and
that,
Deathloop and Biomutant, ridiculous.
Stuff's starting to happen. Returnal's just gonna have to wait, I'm afraid, and I'm gonna be jumping on Outriders. That's gonna be the social game I play for the next few weeks, and then Oddworld Soulstorm. I'm playing Splinter Cell HD Trilogy now for some reason, and I've just finished Spec Ops: The Line. So, well, almost. But
look, we're still very much infected by the illness that is 2020's gaming recommendations. I'm buying everything that's on Vita. Soul Sacrifice, Jack and Daxter, don't worry about it. You know, Manhunt 2 is on my Vita.
They're going to have, they've got a lot to prove. This sort of like, this genre is properly worth that sort of price point. And yeah, it's weird that they've done it with a new, unproven sort of like title. And You can imagine if this did bad, it would badly hurt Housemarque because they've always done the smaller titles.
Didn't they? Maybe I'm getting them confused with a different studio, but didn't they start a battle royale? It was that thing where everyone had swords and stuff and they bailed on it because it was like, oh my God, what are we doing? And then everything kind of came back around to them doing this Returnal thing. I like it being a new IP, but it's just like the thing that's really, I think it's going to struggle with is that it's coming after Hades. Like Hades just nigh on single-handedly reinvented how to do a story in a roguelike. And I don't know how to even follow that up. Like maybe, you know, Housemarque have been along the same lines and they can write something that is that enjoyable narrative-wise, but I doubt it.
Like everyone in the industry who likes roguelikes was like Spelunky 2 frothing at the mouth. That came out. And then Hades came out and just sort of put its leg on the table. And then everyone just went, nah, and just left. And Spelunky 2 died on its own cold in the winds. And then Hades went and won all these Game of the Year awards. Uh-huh. So yeah, now you're right. Returnal's got to have to prove up to that. I mean, it probably can differentiate itself because it's in different realms of the Ds. Like it's in another dimension. So...
The story as well. I mean, the bits that they've shown, like they've got the PT
corridor. It looks like my shiz.
It does look like your shiz. But it's got like the PT corridor, your main character. I don't know what her name is, but she's finding her own corpse. They're doing that thing where it's like, oh, she's been here before. She's aware that she's been there before. She's trying to figure stuff out about her own past. And assumedly why she signed up to the mission that put her on that planet. And then why she's sort of trapped in the literal loop. But yeah, I hope there's more to it than just than what it seems like on the face of it, where it is just this endless sort of loop to punch through to get the next cutscene for the next thing. I hope there's a bit more embedded in there like there was in Hades. But yeah, the other stuff that's coming out on the 30th, R-Type Final 2. There's not been an R-Type. I don't even know if you guys even care about R-Type, but there's not been an R-Type game since like 2004. And it's a big old thing for dinosaurs like me. It's a big thing.
We should be excited for this, Scott, because I don't know what this is.
Well, that's the thing. I've not played it since it was on PlayStation 1. There was a PlayStation 1. I played R-Type Delta back on PS1, which is in like 98, I'm going to go with. But it's a shmup game. It's a bullet hell. You're the little ship. You'll have played something like R-Type. It's one of the most influential bullet hell games ever. One of the recent ones, again, we mentioned Colin Moriarty before we started recording, but his studio, Lilimo, make the Hebroxia games, which are like another
sort of... Hebroxia 2 is good, by the way.
Hebroxia 2 is really good. And anything that is like the shoot 'em up style formula where you're just a little speck on the screen, bullet hell, bullets are everywhere, giant, you know, laser wiping special attacks and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't say it's a dying genre, but it's a very rarely supported genre. And R-Type, I was looking up the last time an R-Type main series game came out and it was 2004 or 2003 in Japan, 2004 for everybody else. R-Type Final 2 is a direct sequel to that game. And it's, for whatever reason, finally coming back on the same day as everything else, so it's going to get buried. But it is coming out on that day.
A lot of bullet hell type stuff coming out. I know. This month, man. We just talked about how it's a dying genre, and we've got,
The mechanics have come across, the idea of just being like showered in projectiles. Like I said, the nearest comparison I can make in a 3D space is what Nier Automata's bosses were like, where you've just got everything coming at you. I think that's what it'll be like. New Pokemon Snap, do you guys? I mean, I adore. I'm loving the Pokemon. Pokemon Go, off it. Do you like the Pokemon Snap?
Freaked out when this was going on, Scott. You were talking to me about Pokemon Snap about a week and a half ago, and I was like, I'm pleased for you. You know, you were just talking at me, and I was like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm so happy that you're happy and you're finding some joy in these trying times.
It's a good time. Well, Benroy, you've got an N64. Did you touch the Pokemon Snap? Or were you too busy with Buck and the Bumble?
It was the one that I was like, can I just get back to Glove Bumble or something like that? Pokemon Snap was, I played it once, okay, goodbye, done. I don't want to borrow this again. Please don't push this again on me, my friends. Let's biggity buck Bumble or play Gold now, because come on.
Well, you can do multiples, but I mean, I've only had an N64 for less than 2 years, but Pokemon Snap was a glorious time. Literally, I mean, it mainly only works if you're a huge fan of the TV series. Obviously, everybody already knows this.
I love the TV series and those original Pokemon, but it just feels like when you play like a light gun game more than like three or four times, you kind of know what's coming.
You don't need more than three or four times. One and two, the first couple times, it's glorious, mate.
It's not enough for me, sorry.
But I like the idea of that whole thing of like, what if Pokemon were real? They were sort of like, you know, in these different, you're essentially just on safari, you're going like, you're on rails, going through these different environments, trying to get specific photos and stuff. I like the idea that they've finally done a sequel 23 years later or whatever it is.
It's happy for it existing. It's great that we are going to get another one. They should have probably put number one on the Switch store as well, but you know, that'll never happen.
That was on the Wii U Virtual Console, I think, was the last time that was available. Like, I had to seek out the actual N64 cartridge for it. But the fact that we've got this in, you know, somewhere where you can go online, social media, people can share their photos and everything. I think it'll spawn a really cool little community. And the idea of like getting the right shot, like, because I'm not going to lie, and I know that I'm 25 years late to this or whatever it is, but the second I realized you can knock a little Charmeleon into some lava and a Charizard comes out and then you get the shot before he flies away, what more do you want?
What do you want, Ben? Right on Twitter, man. Like, I want to look at all of these pictures.
I want to mug off a Voltorb and really annoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And you can only do that in this game. But yeah, new Pokemon Snap. We can touch on Terminator Resistance a little bit because apparently it's all right. I've not played it.
It's apart from those two really weird first person sex scenes where the model is like, just like, yeah, just apart from that, it's an okay shooter. It's like proper, I know we say it's like the booty game, but it's just one of those where you go in not expecting much.
Sometimes,
right?
All you need is a 6 out of 10 game. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's totally inoffensive. The shooting works. The Terminators, for the most part, feel like Terminators. And there's some weird, not open world, but like wider levels where you're going down streets and you're avoiding like the big giant tank things. You've got to go from like house to house and grab stuff. Mm-hmm. And the guns feel good. Like, so I guess the guns feel good. You get bits from the Terminator 1 film, you know, when he goes down to the alley and the flashbacks and then murders everyone. It's totally fine. There's one perk. There's perks in it, yeah, because there's perks in everything. The only time you need lock picking free is to unlock this door, which the whole building's destroyed. It's just this one little bit of wall on the door. You don't need to unlock it. You can just walk around it. But you get lock pick level 3 to unlock that door to get the trophy, to get the platinum trophy. Because
are you all right, mate? Has something happened? Have you been possessed?
Just a wall there with a door, but you can walk around it. But the only reason you need unlock 4 is to unlock this one pointless door. So it's funny.
The thing I heard about this game was that they do a really, well, I've heard it actually. There's a really cool synthy version of the Terminator theme. That's the thing. The presentation, the general response to this was that its heart was in the right place in regards to like a cool, meaty, dark Terminator game.
It's not bad. It's not crap and it's not offensive. It's just those dodgy screenshots that I've sent you to before. And yeah, it's just fine.
Dude, it might be all right. Put that in the box. It's not crap. It's not offensive. Here's some dodgy screenshots. Sold.
Music's all right. Just sort of get you.
I reviewed it. I think I gave it 3 out of 5. I think.
Yeah. Which almost, that does translate to a 6 out of 10. So it's bang on. So that all those things are coming out on the 30th. I think a lot of people are going to be waiting to, you know, play the likes of Returnal and new Pokemon Snap. But there is also the next Nier game, which is the remake of the original Nier game, which now has a stupid long title. It's called Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139. That's coming out on the 23rd. Of April. This is taking the Nier Automata combat system, putting that back into the original Nier, largely keeping the same story from what I've heard. But it is just, it's full on Yoko Taro. I mean, even the name alone is just some full on, you're along for the ride type business, which I very much will be.
I'm looking forward to this one a lot because the first game I've never actually played myself because I just heard horror stories that it didn't play well, but it was worth it for the story. So I've watched a lot of video essays on it. I've watched a lot of walkthroughs on it just to like get the gist of it because the story itself is so cool and there's a lot of great twists in there. And I'm excited for people to experience for themselves and I'm excited to experience myself, see if they've remixed any of them or anything like that. But the idea of them giving us that world, that story with the combat system from Automata, that sounds like a match made in heaven for me. And I need more of that stuff because Automata for me was such a big surprise. Like I didn't expect to love that game at all. And I totally loved it. And I thought it was so engaging. It's bringing back the bullet hell like so many other games on this list. And I hope it's going to be good. I've read some previews over the weekend that weren't like, you know, falling head over heels in love with it, but was still quite promising. And I think it was always going to be a difficult game to remake or remaster. And I feel like they've,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, at least they're at least going in the right direction with it.
Well, I read the weirdest preview that was like, oh, it's the Nier that you know and love, and then proceeded to explain that the combat system's completely different. It's paced way faster, and it's a way better entry point than it was before. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they're trying to split the difference. Like, you know, Nier, like the name Nier is now so much more known after 2017. And this is like, for me, this is the best way to get me to play that original one, because I'm never going to touch the original's combat system or anything. It's going to need something like the upgrades that Automata brought in. Benoit, did you touch any of these Nier games over the years?
No, but this has intrigued me to finally sort of jump in. So again, this is the one where I will let it sit there and I will let its price depreciate a bit as I play all the other newer games, and I will think of going back. And I just love the name. Like, I'm never going to remember it, but I want to play it Nier Automata after hearing certain people that I listened to on casting pods for years, but I just never got around to it.
Is that me and Josh? Is that us recommending it? And then did you get it after that? Or?
I think no. Alex Navarro.
Right, good. Yeah, we can't hold a candle to Mr. Navarro, but you do what you can. The other thing to remember on the, because that's coming on the 23rd for the Nier Replicant, 1.22474487139, is that also alongside that is the PS5/Xbox Series X version of Judgment, which was the spin-off from the Yakuza series. But the thing is, that doesn't have a save carryover, and that game like is humongous. And so, like, it's still, you know, one of the best selling points in that game and any of the newer Yakuza games is just how interactive the city is, because there's so many mini games. You can go to the Sega arcade, you can play old school Sega classics in the arcade, things like that. And that's obviously recommendable regardless, but they haven't done a save carryover. If you buy it on PS5 next gen, you've got to start over.
I'm getting really, really upset with this lack of save crossover, cross-save business. I went to, because like Ben Roy, last week my controllers died over the weekend, and I had to get another controller in, but I thought, right, okay, that's fine, I've got two PlayStation 5 controllers now of varying quality, and maybe I'll download the PS5 version of It Takes Two and see out what I've been missing. So I did that, and then it was like, do you want to start a new game? And I was like, no, I've already played part of this on the PlayStation 4, can't you just carry across my saves? And it was like, No, we can't do that. I was like,
that was the thing that I was saying.
Why are you doing this to me?
The other week, like, I mean, it's just like, they didn't make it this way. I don't know why, but they didn't. Sony just didn't account for this at all. And then it's like, even at launch, when it was like, oh, we're going to put that little three-dot menu in so you know which version you're playing. And then the saves just don't carry over.
It's to the point where if I didn't acquire like the office controller, I wouldn't be able to play Abe, because there's a few extra fart rumbles that you just wouldn't be able to turn off, because you can't just go, because you can play it. You can use a DualShock on a PS5. I've been using it and it's been going back in time, and I feel like I'm back in the 60s or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just having to like heat some coal up and keep myself warm as I play this old controller, and it's fine. But yeah, just a couple of extra fart rumbles. I mean, like, Josh, are you going to send your other controller back to the big Sony in the sky?
I should, but it involves me ringing up and talking to someone, which I'm not a huge fan of.
And going to the post office, which is your actual trip to know that.
So I'm going to have to do it. I just don't know when I'm going to get around to doing it, because I had to just order a same-day delivery for the new controller. And it's like, it's the drift, which is the most annoying thing, because it's not necessarily broken. Yeah, it's just like...
I love that you'd rather spend 70 quid on a new controller than do a phone call.
This is the state of millennials at the moment, man. This is this is what we live and breathe, not wanting to phone anyone.
Shall I speak to them on the phone for you and then
please
sort them out? But... It wasn't that long.
You put the phone down and ask you all the questions anyway.
This is why I'm doing this podcast, because I'm like, this is a PSA. Anyone who works at Sony watching this right now, at Sony support, get in touch, because I need to send it off. And I don't want to talk to anyone on the phone. Yeah. So this
don't call the number on the game website that you're supposed to, because that is a wrong number and it's just for things like washing machines. And after they keep trying to get you to get said, but yeah, if you've got washing machines, like, I don't care. Just direct me to the other one. And then as this nice lady was trying to sell me washing machine insurance, and then I finally got to Sony and they were confused because obviously it was the directed number. So I was like, who are you? That's proof I was again, and all this ramble. And I finally got through.
Is he Vinnie Jones it? Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? And I was like, have you tried to reset the controller? Of course I'm bloody trying to set the controller. And I was being nice though. I was just, you know, 2-3 hours.
The PlayStation website that gives you some tips of how to maybe save it. I was going through them all, obviously not working. I knew it wasn't going to work. And
they
I got
never
the
work
one.
On in any tech nah. in any avenue of technology. If you tried this, it never works.
No, it doesn't work. But then the last one is insulting because it's just like, well, why don't you just try a factory reset? I'm like, no, because it's not going to work. I've done this before when you've recommended this, and it's just never happened. And I've lost
try
all
wiping
my,
out all your saves.
Would you just smash it with a brick? It might work. Who knows? At this point, we just don't give something.
Is it so we're at the very beginning? I was like, I can't have this controller half broken now. I'm like, sure it works, but I'm sneaking in PUBG in and I slightly tap the button and I just start killing everything. I was like, no, I need and Resident Evil's out in a month. And I was like, I'm not missing that piece, no, I'm not missing that game. So you I just have to do it.
It's gonna have to be, yeah. I mean, at some point, the things need to be played, especially now when actual games are appearing again. Speaking of actual games, this is part of a much larger conversation, but we'll do this for the last sort of few minutes. MLB The Show 21, long sort of known as a Sony exclusive, published by Sony, you know, PlayStation exclusive, MLB The Show being the game of the Major League Baseball. 20th of April, that's coming to Game Pass, coming to Xbox for the first time. And the conversation around it, I mean, I don't know about you two, but I'm not an MLB follower, but I think that I do know that it's like a very critically revered sort of franchise. But the conversation around it, the fact that it's coming out on Xbox and the fact that Sony are the publishers, but they've still signed the deal for it to come to Game Pass day one, means that it'll be free, quote unquote free, on Game Pass, providing you're paying the monthly fee. But it's still $70, £60 on PS5, or it's £50/$60 on PS4 with a free PS4 upgrade. So you could just spend less if you want to do that thing, that side of it. You can spend less and get the free upgrade. But there's also the conversation around, like, you know, games being day one on Xbox and on PlayStation, like Outriders was, and it just being free on Xbox if you already signed up to Game Pass. Like, it just nothing about any of this makes sense, especially when Sony are the publisher.
It's crazy. I'm like 80% sure that they're the developer as well. I think they develop it in-house.
Oh,
Sony?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe double check this. But oh god, here he is. Here Ben Roy's got him up. If you're watching, your friend and mine. Which is mad. Like, imagine any other Sony like franchise that's been exclusive for this long. Not only going multi-platform, but going to Game Pass on day one.
I did not realize. Crazy. Yeah, it's they develop it. Lego Studio. That's
What it was is they had to re-up the license, and MLB were like, oi, you make a lot of money on PlayStation, right? What have we also put on Xbox? And they were like, and I guess Sony were like, maybe not. And they were like, well, then we'll just give it to someone else. And
Jim Ryan like, how are you, man? I can't, it, man. And then it's got to be on there, man.
Turns around and shouts at Shuhei, blames him, even though he's not able to do anything. But yeah, It's so funny, isn't it, that this Sony exclusive that is going to be £70, how many other dollars it is going to be on Game Pass. And but don't worry, at least if you've got PlayStation Now, you can play the Avengers.
Apparently, yeah. You can try and play it. I just without your save carrying over, unless you download the PS4 version first to upload it and then download it again. But yeah, I mean, as a conversation around like the optics of the brand, like where Sony are right now and the optics of Game Pass, like that's Outriders, which had its like record-breaking first weekend over on Steam, but still had like record player numbers. And then now this being the follow-up, it's just Game Pass is just, obviously that's always been the Xbox master plan, but like securing stuff like this, getting Sony exclusives kind of proves that they aren't going to hold back. There's also the rumor that Battlefield is going to be on Game Pass from day one later this year. I mean, EA has been rumored as like, a you know, something doing more deals with Microsoft. It just seems like a hell of a, I don't know, like a prescient, a precedent to set.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Scott, you've been saying for the past few weeks now, just asking what the hell's going on with Sony, like what's happening with yeah. their messaging, what's going on. And for that entire time, I've been kind of like on the fence thinking, ah, it's fine. They've probably got something up their sleeve. But at this point, everything just keeps happening. This MLB thing being the most recent thing. And it's just got me thinking, like, what are they doing? What is their plan? What are the, what's their approach going forward? Like, it's just, it feels so weird and unlike the precedent that they set for the past, like, generation. You know, they've come into this generation, they released the PlayStation 5, then they've just kind of, like, gone radio silent, and now we just have all of this forward momentum with Xbox. And not to turn this into another Game Pass is good Xbox podcast. But I mean, you know, it's constantly,
it is pretty good,
constantly making headlines with it. Like you said, Outriders was there. We're going to get this former Sony exclusive, PlayStation exclusive out there on day one. It's just like, what does Sony have to fight against this? And like Roy said, you've got the Avengers on PlayStation now. They've got Days Gone coming to PS Plus, which is good, but it's not like the trump card that I think they think it is.
I wonder how much Sony are just kicking themselves that they've forked out so much money to secure Spider-Man for the Avengers, and then the Avengers is just in a constant tailspin. That's the real Returnal, just a never-ending tailspin, never hitting the ground but never regaining either. And then now, I mean, I guess like putting it on you know, PS Plus going forward means that you will bolster the fan base, you'll bolster the player base, so there'll be more people to play Spider-Man. But that whole thing feels like this weird left field, old school Sony sort of move. Ben Wright, what's your thoughts on the whole securing the MLB stuff?
I mean, they're getting money for it going on Game Pass at some point, but we don't obviously know what those deals are like. Like, it's going to vary from game to game, right? But again, the optics, it's what's my little mate called? Don Magic? They're Don Magic hitting themselves slowly. It doesn't seem like a full stamp on them and they're dead, but it seems like a slow spiral into, oh, what are you doing here sort of thing. And I don't know if it's enough to shatter them now, because obviously the consoles out and people have all bought them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, is there too much of a sales lead at this point? Like, just like sheer brand power has got Sony so far ahead.
Even this way, when the 360 trounced the PlayStation 3, right? In the end, PlayStation 3 sold more than 360. Right? Mm-hmm. In the end, they got it back. But like, it's just so, like, Sean Layden probably got like screwed out of it, and like Jim Ryan like pushed him out the window as he took over on the sat on the evil throne, and just, no one likes the old games. Why is the PSP store still on? Turn it off. PlayStation 3 as well.
Are you like having fun? Stop.
You're
it.
Like, mate, people are still developing for this. I don't know what they're doing. Like,
that's a whole other thing. You talk about like brand optics. Yeah, they just killed PS3, PSP, PS Vita, and not until June, but they've like signed the death.
No, not until June is pathetic, Scott. It should have been a year. Screw them. Like, the fact that people, like some people that are, it's not going to hurt that much, but others now they're scrambling to get the game out and ready, and then they're only going to sell it for like a month or so. Mm-hmm. That is just nowhere near acceptable. And they were still selling dev kits, like until like, I mean, there might not be communication from person who sells dev kits to Jim Ryan's assistant, but come on, like it's just
bad. Yeah,
it's so terrible. And then this is just like, what's the Sony joke going to be next week, eh? What's it going to be? Is someone going to
like, you know, in Returnal when she walks along the planet and she looks down at herself already dead in front of her? I feel like that's the PS5 marketing strategy, discovering the PS3 marketing strategy and going, oh God, we've been here before. we've done this for years.
I can't believe it that they're doing, I mean, I don't care about MLB, right? Because I'm not a baseball fan, but it's one of the biggest selling games, and it has been for years, right? So this is a major thing that is also going free on Game Pass. Like, it's just, I mean, free on Game Pass, yeah, it costs $10 or however, but it's just so silly. I'm just gonna say silly. It's very silly.
I tell you what, right?
I don't know what's going on.
If they're playing 4D chess, because I've always said, I say this, I feel like I say this every week, but Sony are such a reactive company, and they're also very hedging their bets kind of company. I wonder if they are thinking, what of all the PlayStation first party titles could we put on Game Pass to see what that subscriber base is like to monetize? And so you put something like this on it rather than Ratchet and Clank, Horizon, God of War, whatever, and you see what those returns are actually like. And that's how they gauge whether to bolster PlayStation Now into a proper monthly service where you're getting, you know, like banks of legacy titles. They actually start putting the money into the R&D to do proper backwards compatibility with, you know, auto upscaling, auto HDR, frame rates, resolutions, all the stuff that Xbox are doing. I don't know, like, it's just because that was the whole argument against that stuff was from Jim Ryan saying that people don't go back to old games, which is obviously like a whole sort of talking point in itself. But in terms of monetizing those old catalogs, if you made a monthly PlayStation service, PS2 gets a bunch of games, you know, like the PS2 pack, here you go, here's all these different things. That would be a way to monetize that nostalgia, that, you know, library. But I wonder if they need to know that's actually going to work out. And maybe that's why they're doing this. I'm trying to think of a way that would actually benefit them other than just losing a first party title to Game Pass.
I think they're just doing a silly, and I don't think there's any plan in it. Like, there's not even anything exclusive on PlayStation, right? It's just because at some point they're updating the browser for the Xbox, right? So you might even be able to play PS Now on the Xbox
saw that,
browser soon. And just like, what's and at one point they were, one of the rumors is why the browser left the PlayStation 5 is because they were scared you could get Game Pass run, like, because you might be able to get Game Pass running on the PS4 soon as well. So it's just like,
maybe. I mean, like I said, the thing is, like, if I go optimistically, maybe all of this is a test to see what the revenue streams are like on a subscriber base that is that big. I mean, Game Pass has over 20 million subscribers. And also, maybe they're canning the PS3, PSP, PS Vita storefronts because they're going to put them into some sort of monthly PlayStation thing going forward.
I don't know, man. Gosh, you totally feel like
this is exactly what you're thinking as well.
It's just it's the most optimistic like view of this whole situation, I think. And
they're professional business people. They must have something.
But Scott, professional business people can also be idiots. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that they're smarter than some people, smarter than the competition, or that everything is this kind of elaborate thing. For me, the simplest explanation for this might be just the best, and that's what Ben Roy said, where it's like a licensing thing, and it was up to renew the contract, and they were like, well, yeah, we could renew it with you, but how about you sweeten the deal and put it out multi-platform, you know? Like, as much as I'd like to believe it was this kind of like, you know, long-term plan, I just don't trust that Sony has a long-term plan like that that they'd stick to. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
I don't see them playing some sort of 4D chess. I just see Phil Spencer laughing and but I can't believe they signed this off. and it's just going to, I don't know, man. They say they're smart business people, right? But they're the PS2, the biggest thing in the world. I know what they're going to want in the PS3. They're going to want me out to print.
They want 6 USB ports and they want to pay $700 for it. That's what I think they want.
I think they're going to be doing a silly for a while and hopefully they can sort themselves out. But we know how they are. We've took 400 years to change the name. I think the sale process, as I keep saying, is the reason why their PS3 stuff is so screwed. Mm. And we're just going to, it's going to be a slow race. And they might get it fixed by, you know, the end of the generation, but
the big question is, I think if you sort of extrapolate it out into like the optics of it on a mainstream brand sense, like the amount of units that the PlayStation has sold so far, I think Game Pass is starting to, the average person knows what Game Pass is now. And I think that once those conversations start, you know, with those people who want to like put the money down on a new console, it's like, well, do I go PlayStation? Do I go Xbox? And right now, if you were splitting the difference, Xbox is the better deal right now, unless you really care about those exclusives. But it's just like sheer bang for your buck. The Xbox does give you more right now. But obviously, I'm still super curious what the exclusives are going to be like on the PlayStation side. But I think that all those conversations are just so just fascinating, and they seem to be changing each week. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the games that are coming in April and the whole conversation around MLB The Show and the idea of exclusives, potentially all going to Game Pass in time, you never know. For now, I've not been Scott from WhatCulture.com because this has been the WhatCulture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
There's an alarm going on behind me, so we should probably end this.
It's true, and Josh Brown.
Goodbye. The police finally coming for you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.